Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In a podcast, two comedians face their toughest challenge yet, to create the superhero they would want to be. With thousands of superheroes to choose from, only one thing stands in their way: a host that is as arbitrary as he is disabled. So I suppose he sits in their way. Is that okay? Can I say that? Anyway, this is the silliest, superest, heroist podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Silliest Superest Heroist podcast, the show where we get two comedians to talk about superheroes, try and get them to pick their ultimate superhero, and try and convince me that their superhero is better than the other superhero's superhero. I've said superhero too many times. I've also described both of you as superheroes. You're not, you're comedians, but I love you for it. Maybe you are superheroes. We'll find out. Let's talk to my guests, see if they're superheroes. My first guest is the wonderful Ben van der Velde. He has four names. He's picked five superheroes. Let's figure out what else is going on in Ben's life. Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
Hello, Aaron. I'm doing grand, thank you. And I have to tell you, you have undersold how many names I have, because I got two middle names as well. My full name is Benjamin Roger Morris van der Velde, which sounds like someone who hunts poor people on horseback.
Let's welcome my second guest for today, the wonderful Eddie Hurst. How are you doing, Eddie?
I'm very excited for this. I have put too much time into thinking about very obscure superheroes.
This is something that I was going to bring up. Usually when I get a text before the podcast, it's someone going, so what are the rules again? Who can I pick? Who can I not pick? No, Eddie double checking in how severely he can go into the nerdship of this podcast, how obscure you can get, as obscure as you like.
Yes, excellent. So we start at the cave paintings of France.
Well, that is a great place
it's
to
not,
start. But the place that I would prefer to start is at the head. So just before we go into round one, I'll explain the game. You lovely comedians have picked your favourite head, upper body, lower body, weapon and power. You're going to try and convince me that your body part, attribute, whatever, is better than your opponent's, and then I'm going to select which one I want in my superhero of the week, and together we are going to come up with this ultimate hero. That's how it's going to work. We're going to start with round one, which is the head.
Round one, the head.
Eddie, what superhero head have you chosen from the caves of France? It doesn't have to be from the cave of France.
Oh, thank God. Well, they might have been in the caves of France at some point. I have chosen what I think is possibly my favourite comic series ever. It is a character called the Flaming Carrot. Or Flaming Carrot Head. And who Flaming Carrot Head is he is a regular man with the head of a flaming carrot. And so there's always a fire on the top of the carrot. It's flaming, obviously. It's much too big to be useful, but also within there he's got his nuclear powered pogo stick.
This feels like a superhero created by Richard Herring.
It was made. When was he made? I think it was the 70s. So it's the superhero that started the Mystery Men. So if you remember the Mystery Men film that came out like early noughties. This is the guy who they when they were making the Mystery Men film. Yeah. Well, there's no fucking way we can fit this guy in.
Okay, reasonable. So I've just seen a picture of this guy. When you said it's a guy with a carrot for a head and it's on fire, I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I can get on board with that. Let me just explain to the listeners. This carrot is not the size of a head. It is the length of his body, but on his head. Phenomenal. Yeah.
And this is a mask. So, I mean, if you want to get really technical, underneath there is just a human head.
Why is it so big?
There's a lot of threads that the more you pull at, the less you get out.
The thing with a superhero costume is it's got to be practical. It's got to be about ergonomics. And this just, it's not like, I don't know what Carrot Head's alter ego is, but you can't exactly pop into a telephone box, whirl round and round and come out with that carrot mask on. It's going to get stuck.
But why? You don't need to take it off. What, you've got everything you need in there. You've got a pogo stick.
You've got a continually burning flame. Hang on. You said the word pogo stick earlier. I haven't got back to that. The pogo stick is in his head.
Yeah, so if you look at the picture that I sent you, it's evidence of this that I'd like to bring to the court, where the pogo stick just drops out his chin.
Hang on.
I see that because... I'll be honest, when I first looked at that, I genuinely thought that he was shitting a poker stick.
I mean, he might have been too.
And you may be coming on to this, and I know we're dealing with his head, but in this image that you've shown us, he also has webbed feet.
Oh, they're just flippers. There's nothing special about his feet. They're just flippers. The only superpower he has beyond owning a large carrot head is that he can enter what he describes as Zen stupidity. Which I suppose is, so that's, I basically think that's just he gets blackout drunk because the character is a sort of alcoholic who doesn't know who he is.
Great selection there, Eddie. So just a quick question on terms of actually like how the head works in terms of a superhero. So it's just a mask, but he's got a pogo stick. So can he use the pogo stick from his face?
If he needs to get somewhere like quickly, he just goes, I need my nuclear powered pogo stick. And he hops on it, and he has to be. Look, and yeah, Ben. All right.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Thank you, Aaron. He picked up on the same as me. A nuclear powered pogo stick. That seems, at best, a health and safety issue.
What I would like to raise is that actually, if you look at radiation levels across the world, if you go to Grand Central Station, there's actually more radiation there than at some nuclear power plant entrances. So. All I'm saying is that radiation varies. So as long as it's made properly, which it's not made by him, the man who chooses to wear a carrot head, it's made by his scientist friend. So
I'm not talking about the morality of it. I'm just talking about it practically.
Like, I think he can bounce, baby.
Does the pogo stick have a nuclear isotope within it? Is he bouncing upon an isotope? Because again, that feels very unsafe. that at any moment he could accidentally create nuclear fission with the ground.
I mean, like I've said, it was only in later comics it became nuclear powered. Originally, it was just a super pogo stick.
I'm quite happy to jump in here. Whether it's nuclear-powered, whether it's super-powered pogo stick, that is something that is very much a big plus for Flaming Carrot. Either way, I am very much on board. Ben, what is your head? You've got a very big uphill battle.
I do. Well, I ummed and ahed about this. There was a lot of temptation in the world of the X-Men. Professor Xavier's ability to... do all sorts of wondrous things with his mind was a huge temptation. And, you know, it gets to be the head of Paddy Stewart, which is always a big plus. Equally, Cyclops, just X-ray eyes are a constant delight, particularly if you're, you know, you're really dying for a cheese toastie. Then you can, I mean, really what you want to do is mix Professor Xavier and Cyclops, because Professor Xavier can assemble the toastie using his mind. And then Cyclops can zap it with his eyes. But after a lot of consideration, I rejected both of them and instead went for the head of Inspector Gadget.
Brilliant.
Because... that is shit. Oh, that is good. that.
Because, firstly, you know, he's got the go-go gadget neck, which is great for avoiding punches and also for being on the lookout. And then, as far as I remember it from Inspector Gadget, inside his hat is essentially... the inside of Inspector Gadget's hat is very much like the inside of Mary Poppins' bag. That it is just an infinite world of objects. I appreciate it is normally a mallet being wielded by a spring-loaded fist. But it's just that what's so important with a good superhero is the element of surprise.
That
and
is
what could
true.
Be more surprising than Inspector Gadget's jack-in-the-box hat?
I can answer that question for you, Ben.
A carrot on a pogo stick.
A carrot on a pogo stick. It's 1-0 to Eddie. As we go into round two, the upper body.
Round two, upper body.
Ben, we'll come to you first. Which upper body are you going for?
I thought, who's got the most potent hands in all of the superhero universe? And I appreciate you're both now thinking about which character can move their hands the fastest for the ultimate finger bang. And that's not where I'm going. I was thinking purely on a non-euphemistic level. My choice of the person with the most potent hands in the entire MCU is Dr. Stephen Strange.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's, you know, if either the carrot top or Inspector Gadget's element of surprise doesn't work, then you bring in the 27th dimension as the element of surprise.
I will give you that. That is pretty surprising as a weapon. Yeah, no, fair enough. That is a great shout.
Now, what I would like to say is my concern for Stephen Strange is that whilst we know that his hands recover enough to do magic tricks and all that, like, we have never actually seen him be able to use his hands to just put, like, sugar in a tea or something. Like, where does the dexterity come back to?
That is
good. Well, I mean...
Because he can't do surgery anymore. So can he... I'm yet to see... And look, maybe in the Multiverse of Madness... He will just do, like, he'll fix a watch and we'll all be like, ah, yeah, he's back, baby. But I still think he's got a cack hand.
As a disabled person, I would like to clarify the phrase cack hand is exactly how you should describe Stephen Strange. okay, I mean, yeah, I mean, that is an important question. I think what's also, like, important to realise is that at the end of Dr. Strange, when the guy takes away the magic from the guy who's just playing basketball, he just crumbles in a heap. So if Dr. Strange does ever lose his magic, his hands will just go back to the cack-handedness, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like Dr. Strange's magic is being supplied by Virgin Media. It's not like he's about to go, and I will send you to the 27th dimension. Oh, fuck, the Wi-Fi's down on my hands. Yeah.
Of course, we all know that Marvel, being part of Disney, is very much provided by Sky Broadband.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just about to go into combat, and then he starts buffering. okay, Doctor Strange, great shout. Eddie, what is your choice for the upper body?
Okay, now, an obsession of mine over the past 2 years has been looking at all of the many adaptations of The War of the Worlds, which is the story of Martians invading Earth. And it got me thinking, is there in the comic book world a War of the Worlds? Like was War of the Worlds ever in comic books? And there is, of course, quite a good Extraordinary League of Gentlemen series where they put, that's Alan Moore and the Martians are in it. But what is more interesting to me is the story of Killraven, War of the Worlds, which I'm going to send you over a link to this. Now, this is mental. It's like
I love the fact that all of your research has been peer-reviewed and you're giving evidence.
Look, I've not got much on other than the baby. Like, this is it. Right, so this is just, I don't know why, but Marvel decided we're going to do War of the Worlds, but we're going to set it in a post-apocalyptic world with this character called Killraven, who essentially is like a blonde himbo.
Okay.
And he...
The picture of him right at the bottom is real... what's Michael Douglas's dad called? Is it Dirk?
Douglas.
Dirk Douglas.
I think Dirk Cuglas. I like
Dirk Cuglas is what he looks like. Yeah, but he looks like Space Spartacus.
Yeah, it's great. So not only does Kilraven battle the Martians on the reg, Kilraven is the last surviving embodiment of human civilization. Somehow they implanted in his body the memories of all human art, science, plays, which means he's quite good with his hands.
He also has a name that if you said it out loud at the Tower of London, you would be immediately barred.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so he can do... So he's got all of the history of human experience, yeah. But surely that's in his head. I know what you're saying, that he has the skill with his hands.
Look, I know, Aaron, what you're saying. You're saying it was implanted into his brain. And I'd say yes, but the arts are not of the mind. The arts are of the heart. So his beating heart will contain the art. Therefore, I think his ability in the upper body is that he knows every single dance move in human history.
And you're telling me that Stephen Strange couldn't use his Sorcerer Supreme power to channel the winner of every edition of Strictly?
I'm not saying he couldn't, but what I would ask is, would he?
Well, what you're suggesting there is that because he is so solemn and po-faced, but I'm not choosing him from the neck up, I'm choosing his hands.
Oh, shit.
And those, my friend, are dancing hands. And you can do the Sorcerer's cha-cha-cha.
I want to ask the same question that Troy McClure asked in the Planet of the Apes musical. Can he play the piano anymore?
Troy McClure, you might remember him from such podcasts as the Silliest Superest Heroes podcast. Okay. So first of all, I just want to reiterate what Ben said. I have done a lot of these podcasts. I have never had someone provide so much evidence and that is so brilliantly laid out and so presented so beautifully in all of the episodes that I have recorded so far.
I mean, this is wonderful, but this is a thinly veiled cry for some employment. I know what's happening here.
That is true.
Anything to do, please.
I get what you're saying. I think it is a very good choice, Eddie. The only problem I have... And your theory of he could do any dance move, he could do any dance move with his upper body. My upper body is fine, but I still can't dance. That's lower body problem. Ben, don't jump in here because I'm about to give you the point and it can only ruin it for you. Great. It is 1-0.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool. Round three, the lower body.
Round three, lower body.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Here we are. lower body. We've already got a pogo stick. What legs are going to be using said pogo stick?
Now, it's not just the legs. The knees, it's the buttocks. Most importantly, it is the naughty bits. Yeah. And when I thought in my head of what is the most famous dong in comic book world, and I landed only on none other than what is, of my superhero planned, the most powerful part of the body. And it is Dr. Manhattan with his blue shiny knob.
Oh, which will can work perfectly to power the nuclear-powered pogo stick, because that is a nuclear-powered pogo dong.
So he's got the safest legs for using the pogo stick.
I mean, I already feel like I'm on a hiding to nothing here, lads.
Tell me everything you would like to tell the listeners about Dr. Manhattan and his powerful, powerful dong.
Dr. Manhattan is a character from the comics Watchmen series, which was originally written by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. Now, Dr. Manhattan himself is a man who gets stuck in like a sort of nuclear testing facility, and all of his atoms get reorganized so that he has complete control over the atomic structures of the world. So the point of him is meant to be that he's like the most ridiculously overpowered being. And when I searched Dr. Manhattan's dong, when I Googled it, the first thing that came up was, is Dr. Manhattan's dong more powerful than Superman? To which, obviously, I pressed enter. And the answer was, absolutely.
Wow. Wow.
Because Dr. Manhattan could just remake Superman into his constituent atoms at will.
Yes.
And presumably his dong could do that as well.
Well, this is the thing, is that I'm not sure. This is why I thought it's not so much cheating to put him in. Because I don't know where Manhattan's power comes from. And also, if it's only his lower body, does that mean he can only do it out his knob or his butt? Like he can fart villains away? I mean, they are going to be radioactive, fundamentally.
Yeah.
Dr. Manhattan's farts are
radioactive
ruinous.
Farts. Yeah.
Someone's just done a dusty Chernobyl.
Oh, God. Dirty boy.
Okay. I mean, I can't get away from the knob. Like that's what's drawing me back.
In the comics, or the original comics, it's kind of like the idea of his nudity is meant to be him separating from sort of human constraints.
Sure.
But in every adaptation that seems to happen, his dick gets bigger. So like in the Zack Snyder one, everyone's like, "Well, that guy's got a big dick." And then in the recent HBO one, even bigger. And so it grows.
Eddie, can I say, there is no man on earth who has not suffered penis anxiety. And if you would like proof, may I direct you to Exhibit A, Warfare. But you need to go easy on yourself. By comparing yourself to Dr. Manhattan's penis.
Look, I'm not, it's the world of superheroes. So there is superpower. I am but a mortal man. So it's not so much comparison. It's more appreciation. And also that the man can't procreate because he will, like there's that, what's the film? There's a Kevin Smith film, isn't there, about how they talk about Superman can't impregnate Lois Lane. Because
it's Clark's, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's the same, but whereas in Superman, it's just a bit of a fun, like a bit of a, there's the ambiguity about it, so you don't have to worry too much. In Watchmen, they go out of their way to say, oh no, anybody that he has sex with is gonna die of radiation poisoning.
Let's hear what Ben's choice for the lower body is. If he can have sex with people without killing them, I think I might choose it. Ben, what is your choice for the lower body?
What a wonderfully low bar.
It could be Howard the Duck now. Could be Howard.
Well, you say that, but Howard, you beat me to it. And the extremely unpleasant morality around sex. I thought about what is the best thing that the lower body of superheroes can do? And it is go very quickly. And so I thought, who is my favourite super quick superhero? And as someone who grew up reading the Beano as a child, it is definitely Billy Whiz. Yeah. I've picked him for a number of reasons. Firstly, he was one of the two characters from the Beano I always wanted to be. The other was Roger the Dodger, and that isn't, he doesn't have a superpower. He is just a tiny little checkerboard Del boy. Secondly, because in my mind, Billy Whiz was drawn as having like two really straight hairs on top of his head that were clearly there for aerodynamics. But I always imagined it was a steam pipe. And that was the other part of his sort of like mutation, I guess. And also because he regularly played football in his cartoon strip. So he used his superpowers to become an incredible winger. Mm. And I think people, whenever they have superhero fantasies, that was like, oh, I'd save the world, I'd get the girl. Like, fuck that, lads. I'd save Newcastle United. That's what I'd do with the hands of Stephen Strange turning the two central defenders in front of me into a pair of sprouting rose bushes, with my legs of Billy Whiz skidding through them like a pair of training cones, before Inspector Gadget had a boot coming out of his hat to kick it into the top corner.
Can I ask you a question, Ben?
You can.
What age is Billy Whiz?
That was going to be my question as well.
This is an open goal, mate.
Like 10?
Your one goal was to get somebody who could have sex. You've chosen a 10-year-old boy.
I really don't want to have to do this deep dive into human biology. But technically, puberty is hitting boys younger and younger these days.
We're talking about someone who killed someone whilst having sex versus someone who's a child.
Well, you will either be killed or do a life sentence. They're your options.
Yeah. Can I just point out, I appreciate that the metrics on which you decided to rate Eddie and therefore me was your ability to have sex safely. And by safely, I mean not immediately eviscerating the person in front of them. But I didn't choose Billy Whiz because of that. I chose him because he was iconic for me as a child and can run extremely quickly. That's all I want from him.
Sure. I mean, the thing is, you are right in the fact that you didn't choose Billy Whiz based on those metrics. And I really backed myself into this corner of defining the metric of who I want to have sex with without killing them. Can I just
say, given that you've made this an extremely morally problematic situation,
sure.
In Billy Whiz, you have someone who can flee the scene of the crime extraordinarily quickly, and that could well be a crucial factor.
What I would say, if we are judging by this metric of who I would, the ability to have sex with somebody without killing them, I would rather wait 6 to 10 years to have sex with someone, because I started the child and I'm waiting to become an adult, than never have to have sex with anybody ever because I would murder them. I'm going to have to go with Billy Whiz. I tell you what, Ben, if the superhero gig doesn't pan out, I will go play for Newcastle United. I won't go sign for Sunderland or any of the other rival teams to Newcastle as my gift to you.
Thank you. I mean, that's adorable, thinking that Sunderland are a meaningful rival to us, but I appreciate the sentiment.
It's 2-1 to Ben. Let's crack on with round 4. The weapon.
Round 4. Weapon.
Ben, what weapon have you chosen?
I mean, obviously the coolest weapon in the superhero universe is Thor's hammer.
Obviously.
But the question is, am I worthy? And I think in order to be worthy, you need to be a complete superhero with a central identity that is consistent. And the whole premise of this podcast means you're not. So Thor's hammer wouldn't be operable by this character. So instead, I went back to thinking, well, what's my favourite weapon that I've ever seen wielded in cartoons, specifically with superheroes, on my very loose definition of what a superhero is? And as someone who grew up loving and adoring Looney Tunes, I think we can all agree that the finest weapon that you can wield is a grand piano dropped from the heavens. And so that is what my character can do. Just whenever they want, they can just tug on a random piece of rope next to them and a grand piano will fall on their enemy's head.
Okay, great. I mean, I would say that's close to power, but I will give it to you as a weapon. Because you need to be able to summon the piano, but I will give it to you. I'm not going to be that pernickety with it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, this is the thing. The superhero doesn't summon the piano. It is provided by the Acme Corporation.
Right. Okay, great. Sure. Fine. Yes. No problem.
Yeah. It's a corporate tie-in deal.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, great. I'm well on board with a grand piano dropping from the sky. Eddie, what is your weapon of choice?
Well, I was nervous, but I'm elated now. Ben, you sucker, you said it was the Acme Company. You could have got away with just a card. The Acme Company, famously, nothing works properly.
So the
this is not helping my defense that I'm a tryhard, but here is an article of a transcript of Wile E. Coyote taking the Acme Company to court.
Yeah, no, but that's because it's Wile E. Coyote. Anything Wile E. Coyote orders doesn't work. If it's ordered by other characters, then it works.
All right. Well, look, it's not my job to prove the burden of evidence is on you.
before you do your weapon, I am aware that the title of this podcast is called The Silliest, Superest, Heroist Podcast, which is admittedly a very stupid name. This is the silliest, superest, heroist podcast that I have ever done by a mile. So congratulations to you both. You're both
very winners, welcome.
But in a very real sense, we're all losers. What is your weapon?
What I went for is one of Batman's many rosters of villains with all of their stupid... Because Batman has Batrang. He has the Bat grappling hook. He has so many things. Ooh. So possibly the best gadget used against Batman is, of course, the Condiment King's condiment gun. Now, the Condiment King is a character introduced in the 90s, I think, or maybe early 2000s. And he has a gun that can fire condiments which are not limited to, but include ketchup and mustard, as you would expect. I'm assuming he can fire any relish, any jam, as if it can condiment, so gravy, potentially.
Ooh, a gravy gun. And you guys are both from the north, so that's made you both like that.
Sounds lovely. I mean, surely the best thing you're going to fire is chorizo sauce.
Yeah, right?
Like,
right,
get that in your eyes and you're done for.
You almost had me at gravy gun. But...
that is in the Huddersfield version of When Harry Met Sally.
You had me at gravy gun. The question I have for you, Eddie, is it he has a gun that can shoot any condiment, or does he have to like preload the condiment that he is going to fire with the gun? And then does he go, okay, I'm going to fire mustard, and then he loads mustard, and then he shoots mustard? Or can he be shooting mustard and then go, actually, I want mayo?
Yeah, so how I've envisioned it, it's like a pack that goes on his back, okay, and it's the gun. So there's a lot of space for sauce.
Best case scenario with this weapon is that you go to a barbecue and you're firing out, like, someone's like, oh, I want some ketchup, pow, pow. Oh, I want some mustard, pow, pow, pew. Right? That is great. I'll give you that. Best case scenario with pianos dropping from the ceiling, you've got entertainment.
Or a body crushed. And you can't play that piano afterwards because you've probably got bits in it.
You can just do some very experimental music on it, that's all.
Yeah.
Nice bit of Stockhausen.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, it's tricky. It's very, tough. Very tricky. Because now that I've entered into this barbecue scenario in my brain,
yeah, It's great for PR. Oh,
it's great
no.
for PR. But also, I just want to be popular. I just want to be popular. And if you're at a barbecue, firing out condiments.
Turn up at a carvery, offer different gravies. Oh, because it's annoying. If you go to like a Toby or whatever, they only give you one gravy. You could have chicken, lamb, beef.
But also, we've got to combine it with our already configured superhero. They've got Doctor Strange's hands, so they can come up with any condiment straight away. I'm sorry, Ben. You've been out-logicked. I'm going for the condiment king's gun. What I'm going to do is most of the time it's going to have gravy in it and it's going to be a water pistol, but then occasionally I'll use Dr. Strange's hands to change it into ketchup or mustard or whatever. It's 2-0 as we go into our final round, the power.
Round 5, power.
So this, you are not limited by any previous superhero. It can be any superpower that you can think of. So any superpower you want. Eddie, what superpower are you choosing?
Okay. So I thought for years what superpower I'd like. Mm-hmm. And
can I just say, that does not surprise me in the slightest.
Because I think there are three big disappointments in your life when you're growing up. The first one is you don't get a letter to Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. The second one is, as you go through puberty, you don't get X-Men mutant powers. Mm-hmm. And the third one is, at 18, you don't find out you have the Jesus Christ superpowers. I think they're the three big disappointments when you then reach adulthood.
Yeah.
But the advantage, of course, of those is that without great power comes no responsibility. You know, you're not morally racking yourself over, like, because this is the thing. I always thought, like, a Spider-Man or somebody, he can't not be Spider-Man. You know what I mean? Like, he's got such incredible powers, and Superman has such a big responsibility ethically within themselves that every second they're not spending saving the world is a second they've essentially let somebody die, because it was in their control to stop something bad happening. With that in mind, my superpower is to be able to vomit on command with no damage to myself.
Okay, I have one question, Eddie.
One is an... only one.
Yeah, only one. Why?
Okay, fair. So, because I think it's a really good balance between stuff that's good, like useful for you, but is also quite low stakes, beneficial for the world in some ways. Because, right, you're about to get mugged. You're not going to be angry at a guy that's thrown up on you. And if you are, you just carry on throwing up. They're going to slip. Two, if you've, like, ingested poison or something, or you're at a buffet, they're the only two options. You can throw up. And it does no harm to yourself. But you're emptying yourself of the toxic.
Another benefit that I think is we need to point out here, you could have sex with Dr. Manhattan and then just throw up all the radiation and you'd be fine.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. What an interesting choice. Ben, I made this round. I made Eddie win the last round to make this a difficult choice with tension. It's not going to be. What is your superpower?
I really don't think it's going to be, because my bonus superpower is, and I may have slightly misunderstood how this worked, but the bonus power I would like is the bonus power to be Banana Man. And so essentially, if I eat a banana, then I get Banana Man's powers. Grand. Sure. I mean, superhuman strength, flight, invulnerability. That's all well and good. But I think we can all agree what I really want is Banana Man's wardrobe. And so just imagine this absolute hodgepodge of a superhero with his skinny, fast legs and his sorcerer's hands
and a
brandishing
head.
A gravy gun.
A carrot with a carrot for a head.
Yeah, a carrot eating a banana. It's a very food. A, it's a food-based superhero.
Very
and also,
food.
You're giving the bad guys their five a day, which is, you know, you've got the catchphrase ready made.
Yeah,
so
that is a tagline.
It. Yeah. So very similar. Admittedly, you need to be within close vicinity of a banana, but there are so many Tesco Metros and small Sainsbury's or even you know, corner shops.
I hate to back up your case, but there's plenty of room in that mask for bananas too.
That is also true. And bananas are so cheap. I bought a banana yesterday for 11p.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's well worth it.
And so long as the condiment gun can do maple syrup, we're on to a winner.
Bang. Of course it can. That is what we've given it.
So if you eat the banana, you turn into Banana Man. He can procreate, can't he?
Yeah.
There's no issue there.
It's not Banana Boy. Very simple. Ben, you have absolutely won it. It is 3-2 to you. Congratulations. You are today's winner.
Yay. Thank you very much.
You get a bonus round, Ben, for winning, which is you get to add one aesthetic-based attribute to the hero. What would you like to add to our superhero?
Good Lord above. I mean, the tricky thing is, what can you add to Banana Man that makes him look cooler? And I guess the answer is ice cream and chocolate sauce to make him Banana Split Man.
Brilliant. Done. Great. We have one final thing that we have to do, lads. That is to name this superhero. I mean, I think Banana Split Man is up there with a name. But so that's what we're going to do together. What are your initial thoughts for the name of this superhero?
Well, he needs to show his qualifications. So sure. Doctor, obviously, is sure. the start.
Yeah.
Sorry, just Dr. Banana Split Man really tickles me.
Dr. Banana Split is cool, but Dr. Banana Split Man, yeah. Any other ideas what we've got?
Is it worth putting that he's on fire in it? Because then you could put sprinklers on Banana Split Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blazing Dr. Banana Split Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's nice because we're opening it up to different iterations of the comic when we have the slightly warm Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that is it. That is our superhero for today. We have Flaming Carrot for the head. We have Doctor Strange for the upper body. We have Billy Wiz's lower body with the Condiment King's gravy shooting gun and the power of Banana Man. And he is called the Blazing Dr. Banana Split Man, giving the villains their five a day. Thank you very much to my co-creators of this monstrosity, Mr. Ben van der Velde, Mr. Eddie Hurst. I've been Aaron Simmons. This has been the silliest Superest Heroes podcast that there has ever been. I'll see you again sometime. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Silliest, Superest, Heroist podcast. Created by Aaron Simmons. And produced by Gag Reflex. If you want to get in touch with the show about any inaccuracies in this episode, don't.
Look, I'm not doing myself any favors here, but to Ben's defense, there is a Go-Go Gadget pogo stick.
Well, that does.
But that doesn't come out of his head.
Oh, does it not? Ben, I'm trying to help you here!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.